Prosper High School in 1988, went to Northeast for 2 years, got an associate's degree of science, and then I went to the University of Alabama in Huntsville, where I got my Bachelor of Science in Nursing. So along that line, after I graduated from high school, met my husband, Randy Webb, who somebody has already told me they worked with Randy. His parents are Nola and Thomas Webb, and Nola's already gone on to be with the Lord, but they're from Scottsboro, so some of you all may know them. He's got 3 brothers and 3 sisters, and I cannot tell you how many hundreds of aunts and uncles, because when we were dating, we'd go somewhere and he'd say, well, there's Uncle So-and-so, there's Cousin So-and-so, and I thought, I'll never learn all these, so I didn't even try. But I'm glad to have with me this morning my mother, Jean Lyles, and Randall Lyles is my father. And some of you may know them. Dad pastored at Trinity Baptist Church and at Shiloh Baptist Church here in Scottsboro while we were growing up. So it's good to have her with us today. And then I'll tell you a little bit about the other one that follows me around everywhere. So, was raised in church. My dad being a Baptist minister, we were at church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and every night of revival. And so was Randy. So thankful that God blessed us with Christian parents that showed us, that built the foundation that we would need to stand on. And I'm so thankful that I do have that in my life. At the age of 8 years old, I asked Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior. And I'm so thankful for that choice and for being taught that when things go wrong, when you get in trouble, Jesus is the rock that you stand on. Amen. And there's not anything that you're going to go through that's too small to pray for. I remember one morning getting ready to go to school. Mother couldn't find her car keys. And she said, Lord, let's just pray where they are. He knows where they are. So we prayed and we found the car keys. And that taught me that anything that might even be insignificant seeming, you can go to God and He's there. So I'm thankful for that. And so graduated from nursing school. Randy and I got married. I went to work at the hospital in Fort Payne, DeKalb Regional. I got one head right here. Thank you. Okay. Went to work at the hospital in Fort Payne and worked night shift. When you start out as a nurse, you usually start out at night shift. So I had worked a 12-hour shift on Friday night, 12-hour shift on Saturday night. So Sunday morning I worked off because I was going to come. I had to come back in Sunday night, so it's going to be 3 12-hour shifts in a row. But Sunday morning was Palm Sunday, March the 27th, 1994. And I went home and took a shower and went to bed. And I got home and Randy took a shower and went to church. We didn't turn on the TV, didn't have the radio on. But I remember raising the window in the bedroom. And we moved into my dad's home place, which was a house that we had remodeled and built a wraparound porch around. So he went to church and I went to bed, and I raised the window and remember thinking, it's going to rain. You know, when the rain, I ought to sleep good today. So I went to sleep and he went on to church, and I woke up 11:30, I guess it was. There was no loud noise that woke me up. I just woke up. It was the Lord that woke me up, I'm sure. And I remember thinking, something's not right. I got up out of the bed and walked into through the living room of that old farmhouse, and then I began to hear what sounded like a train coming. And I've always heard a tornado sounds just like a train, and it sounded just like a train. And that train kept getting closer and closer and closer. And so I started into the bathroom, and because they tell you to go to the smallest place. As I got to the bathroom door and looked up, there was a window over the bathtub, and I thought, if that window blows out, it'll cut me all to pieces. So I turned around, and I was going to squat down out in the little hallway and put a book over my head like they teach you to do in school. And just as I turned, the front door, the windows, pictures on the wall started shaking, and the front door blew in. And that's the last thing I remember. Until I came to, laying out in the yard. My husband says that it was like 75 yards from where I had told them I was inside the house. And beside me was the big cast iron bathtub. And the washer and dryer was just out of reach. It was just far enough that I couldn't reach. And as I lay there on my back, rain was hitting me in the face. And it was an eerie feeling. You hear the words calm after the storm. That's kind of like what it was, you know. It was just kind of a, I remember smelling natural gas, but as I lay there, I felt of my body. I couldn't move anything except my right arm. And I felt of my stomach, and I thought, ugh. I just felt like I was touching somebody else. And as I lay there, and being a nurse, knowing I think I'm probably paralyzed, but hopefully it's just one of those stingers like a football player gets. It's a temporary thing, and it goes away. But as I lay there, and the rain hitting me in the face, and all alone, other than God being there with me, I prayed, "Dear Lord, if it's your will, Father, just take me on home." Because I didn't know what I would face. I didn't know if I would face life in a wheelchair or if I would die, if I would live. But I knew that I had a peace. And I was assured that if I died, I knew where I'd go. And if you don't have that peace this morning, if you've not made that decision to accept Jesus as your Savior, it's a simple gift. He offers it. All you have to do is accept it. Believe in Him and confess your sins and know that He is Jesus and that He can save you from your sins and you can have that peace. But as I lay there, that's what I prayed. Dear God, just take me on home, because I knew that from my husband's testimony, he was a Christian and I'd see him. And I knew that my mom and dad, by their testimonies, they were Christians, I would see them. And my brother and my sister, and I can tell you, those were my thoughts as I lay there. God, if it's your will, just take me home. Because I know I'm ready, and I know I'll see them. But then as I lay there also, I had to pray, God, if it's not your will to take me home now, then give me the peace and give me the strength that I need to make it through whatever I'm going to have to face, whether it be temporary or whether it be permanent. God, give me what I need to get through this. So, my dad was preaching at Kelly's Chapel at that time, and that's where my whole family was besides me, about 2 miles from where the house where I was at. And so it got dark there. The power went off, and my dad kept preaching. They got him a flashlight, and he finished up. And then they left church, and Randy Hughes was going to come to Scottsboro that day to eat lunch with his mom and dad. And he said something just told him, go by and check on Gina. So he couldn't get to our house the normal way that he would, the short way he would come. So he went what we would call the long way around. And as he drove and came up upon the hill to look over to see where our house usually would be, there was about an acre thick of pine trees that were just snapped over like toothpicks. And then the house was gone. There was nothing left of the house except the floor of that wraparound porch that we had added about 18 months before then. So I can't even imagine what his thoughts were that day. But anyway, he was there, and I remember just bits and pieces going in and out. And for time, I won't go through all those details, but I do remember laying there, you know, going in and out of consciousness. And they finally, the first responders came and got me to the hospital. I remember getting to the hospital and me recognizing some faces of the nurses that I worked with. And but they didn't recognize me because I didn't have many clothes on. But I didn't have, my hair wasn't fixed, and I had mud and dirt all over me. But I remember the doctor saying, you know, we got to do something. Our blood pressure is 60 and dropping. And so they put the tube down my throat to help me breathe. And some of the family started coming in, I think, by then, and they started a prayer chain. Philip Webb and his church at Five First Baptist and all that started a prayer chain. And no sooner had they started the prayer chain, Randy said, my blood pressure stabilized and they were able to transfer me. And so I've always wanted to fly, so that was good. But the weather was bad, so bad that day that they didn't get to take me in the helicopter. But Randy said we flew, we just weren't in a helicopter. Went to Erlanger. They got me to the trauma center at Erlanger, and I was there at Erlanger for seven to nine, ten days somewhere. The tornado was on Monday. On Wednesday, I went to surgery where they could see. They had to let some of the swelling go down and see, you know, before they could operate. But went in on Wednesday to see how bad the spinal damage was. This shoulder was broken. I had all the nerves pulled out in this arm. I couldn't move and use this arm. My leg was broken. I had ribs that were broken that punctured my lungs. And so I was on the ventilator, and I was remember coming out of surgery, and the doctors, of course, my question was, will I ever walk again? And I had to write things or because the tube was down my throat. And he said, no. Your spinal cord is severed completely in a space big enough that you could put two fingers in there. And I don't know, spinal cord, unlike any other nerves, they're not able to grow back together. It doesn't regenerate. So his prognosis was, no, that you will not walk again because you have a complete spinal injury. And so those words were sharp. But and everything we went through was a big shock. But I will tell you that all the prayers and all the people that were there to support us and everything that we went through was a shock. But all those things cushioned, all those prayers and all those people cushioned those shocks. And God allowed it to be something that we could get through. So after 7 to 10 days at Erlanger, then I had the wonderful opportunity to be able to go to Shepherd Spinal Center in Atlanta, Georgia. At Erlanger, they did have to do spinal fusion and put rods in my back. My paralysis is from chest down. And so I went to Shepherd Spinal Center. And that's a place where they teach you how you're going to do things differently, how your bladder's going to act differently, how you're going to be able to transfer from your wheelchair to your bed and in and out of the shower, and how you're going to get dressed and how you're going to do things independently. So because my shoulder was broken, I couldn't do those things. And anybody that knows anything about insurance these days, you have so many days to do this and so many days to do that. So I opted to save those rehab days, and we came back home. And when I say home, I went back to Mom and Daddy's because our house was gone. They live here in Scottsboro, over at close to the city park. And my brother and sister were both still at home then. So anybody that's ever moved out and been on their own and had to go back home, it's different, isn't it? Yeah, it's different. But we're thankful that we had the place to go. They took their living room and turned it into a room for Randy and I. I had a hospital bed, and he slept in a twin bed. And like I said, my brother and sister were still at home, and so we were all there. And I had to have somebody with me all the time, because every 30 minutes I was in this wheelchair that had this real high back. We called it the Cadillac model. But the back of it would recline, and I could lay flat to redistribute the weight. Because, you know, if you're sitting and you don't have sensation, like you're there and your bottom gets tired, you can wiggle around, and you do it without even thinking about it. And so I don't have that sensation. So to keep me from getting a pressure sore or something like that, I had to lay flat every 30 minutes. So I wore a beeper, and every 30 minutes somebody had to be there to lay me down flat. And so Randy and I didn't have a lot of alone time. That the only time we were there together would be when the rest of my family was at church. Mother stayed with me during the day, and Randy would work, because he had missed a lot of work, me being out. So somebody was with me all the time. And I know those were the hardest 2 months, because I had to depend on somebody to do practically everything. I could brush my teeth, but somebody had to bring me the stuff to brush my teeth with. I could brush my hair, but somebody had to bring me the brush to brush my hair. Somebody had to help bathe me. Somebody had to help dress me. And if anybody that's been around me very much knows, I'm a kind of person that's very independent. I like to do things the way I like to do them, when I like to do them, and how I like to do them. So that, for me, was the absolute hardest time, to be so dependent on everybody. And so one night, it was either a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, because Randy and I were there by ourselves, and I was laying in the hospital bed, and he was in the other room watching TV. And it was one of those days where I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I was feeling sorry for myself, and I was down, and I said, God, please show me. Lord, please show me that you're still here. God, show me that I'm going to get through this. Please show me that it's going to get better. And just as real as the hug that Christy gave me a while ago, I felt arms all the way around me. And it was so real that I turned to see if it was Randy, to see if it was him. But it wasn't. It was God. And I know that it was him putting his arms around me and saying, got you. I'm here, and I'm going to be here. So the next song I'm going to share with you is called Surely the Presence. And if you know it, please sing it with me. Because I know I felt God's presence that day. I know it was Him that was hugging me. If you've ever been through, of course all of us have been through something, but you have to call on Him. And not just that one time did I have to call on Him. I have to call on Him several times. Lord, I still need to know You're here. And the times that I feel that way are when I've moved away from Him. It's not been when He's moved away from me. But it's when I take my eyes off of Him and when I take my focus off of Him. Not working. Okay. I'll go ahead to say that after being at home for 2 months, well, being at Mother and Daddy's for 2 months with that broken shoulder, we were able to go back to Shepherd Spinal Center in Atlanta, where what it was supposed to be 12 weeks of intense physical rehab and just, like I said, educational classes teaching you how your body reacts differently and what you need to do in certain situations and different things. So when we went back there, we went in. The room that I was in was a big room, and it had 4 beds in it. And there was only 1 bed that was occupied at that time. And it was occupied by a person named Susan. Susan. And when we went in that room, it was Randy and Mother and my sister and myself looked at Susan laying in that bed, and she was on a ventilator that helped her breathe. She had tubes down her throat for that. She had tubes in her bladder. She had IVs. She had all kinds of things going on. And we just looked at each other and thought, we don't know how blessed we are. I didn't know it at that time, but Susan didn't have a good Christian husband like I did. She didn't have a church family and friends to support her. There was not a day that I was there that I didn't get phone calls and cards and visits and gifts all the way over in Atlanta that meant so much to us. So we didn't know how blessed we were to be there. Got it?
The Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. In the midst of His children, the Lord said He would be. It doesn't take very many. It could be just 2 or 3. And I feel that same sweet spirit that I felt oft times before. Surely I can say that I've been with the Lord. Surely, sing it with me, the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory. on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. There's a holy hush around us as God's glory fills this place. I've touched the hem of His garment, and I can almost see His face. And my heart is overflowing in the fullness of His love. And I know without a doubt that I've been with the Lord. Sing it again. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Not only that time, but many times after that have I had to pray, Lord, let me feel Your presence. And He never fails me. He's always there. So, like I said, after 2 months, went back to Shepherd and realized how blessed we were that there were people that were worse off than we were. Susan was a quadriplegic, meaning she couldn't use her arms or her legs. So she couldn't do for herself anything. She was completely dependent. Well, eventually, as you can imagine, all four of those beds in that room filled up. And all four beds had four different patients. Every patient in every bed had a different nurse. Every bed had a different television. Every bed had a different telephone. So, and they were only divided by the little cotton curtains that divide you. So during the night, you know, I told you when up in my chair during the day, I had to reposition. Well, every night, every 2 hours, they'd come in and turn you every 2 hours. So about the time we'd get comfortable and we'd get positioned like we were comfortable, of course, we had four different televisions going on four different stations, I'm sure, and four different phones ringing and different light switches. But about the time you'd get settled and comfortable, then it'd be time for somebody's nurse to come in and turn you and reposition you. So, as you can imagine, we didn't get a lot of rest. And the girl next to me, now during the day, we would get up, we'd lift weights, we would dress ourselves, we would learn how to, you know, get back and forth from the wheelchair to the bed, and then in and out of the showers. And I don't know if anybody's ever been to Atlanta to Peachtree Street, but up and down those hills, we would roll ourselves in a manual chair. Now, this is before I got my power chair. Don't tell them I've got that. But we were tired when we go to bed at night. So there was a person, Renee, that was in the bed next to me, and she had a gunshot injury while she was in the hospital. So she couldn't get up during the day and do the things that we did. So at night, she would get on the phone, and she would talk ugly. Some of the filthiest talk I've ever heard from a female, much less, you know, somebody that was in that situation. And so I had a really good nurse. Her name was Alyssa. And I was telling her, I said, you know, every night she gets on that phone and she cusses and she carries on and it's awful. And she said, when she gets on the phone, you get your Bible and you read it out loud, because Lord knows she needs to hear it. So what was supposed to be 12 weeks of rehab was 3 weeks, because I was sick and tired of having somebody else doing things for me. So I pushed myself and graduated from Shepherd Spinal Center and was able to come home. And this time when we came back, we stayed with Mom and Dad for a little while. Then we got an apartment over at Goose Pond Colony and lived there for 3 years. But let's see, the tornado was in March, and the following January, I went back to work at the hospital. They had told me when my very first injury, the tornado had happened, that you'll have a job. We don't know for sure what you'll be doing, but you'll have a job. So I went back to work, and I just did whatever that a registered nurse could do on paper. And so I did some charge nurse things, intercepting calls and taking orders from physicians. And then eventually a quality management position came open, and then I'm the director of case management now. So I've been at DeKalb Regional for 23 years, and if you're ever in that hospital, look, you'll find me, because that's where everybody knows who I am. I'm the nurse in the wheelchair. So not hard to find, but I'm thankful that God allows me to still use the education that I have and to interact with the physicians and the patients and work with a wonderful group of people, so I'm blessed. Randy and I had always been undecided about whether or not we wanted children, but my brother and his wife had a little boy named Cole, and I thought, you know, I sure did love Cole, and I thought, I think I might could do this. So everywhere, every chance we got, we kept Cole. And it was hard to do in that manual wheelchair, because I could put him on one leg, but if I rolled with the other hand, I'd just go in circles. So I thought, if I can get me a power wheelchair, I think I can do this. So for 4 years, Randy and I tried to get pregnant, and they had told me that the spinal cord injury should not keep you from getting pregnant. From allowing you to have a baby. So we tried that. Then eventually we thought, well, we'll try fertility. We did not do in vitro, but we did do fertility, and found out we were pregnant. And so I remember going to Huntsville to the clinic where we were going to, and they were doing an ultrasound, and I was laying there, and they said, okay, well, there's one, and there's two, and there's three, and I said, don't go any higher. And I was serious. My husband was just grinning from ear to ear, and I thought, oh, Lord. I was all excited about being pregnant, but when there were three, I thought, oh, that was just more than I could handle. So I remember us leaving the office that day, going out the front door, and I looked at Randy, and I said, do you think God has forgot I'm in a wheelchair? He said, you know God has not forgot that you're in a wheelchair. So we drove back from Huntsville to Scottsboro. We stopped at the drugstore to get prenatal vitamins. And Randy came in, came back out, and he said, so-and-so was in there, and he said, the plant closed today. So when we got home on the answer machine, he'd worked at Philcrest Cannon for 26 years, was the message, effective immediately, the plant's closed. If you have anything you need, come clean it out. So we just looked at each other and thought, God, you're going to do something big here, because we knew we couldn't do it on our own. And we knew that we just had to trust God. And we knew that He had not failed us before. So we did. We trusted God. We lost our insurance at midnight that night, but I was able to pick it up at the hospital. And so 19 weeks into the pregnancy, I had to go on bed rest. And that meant Randy was with me. He could be with me day and night when I needed something. So I was in Birmingham at UAB for 4 weeks, came home for 3 weeks, and then went back to UAB for four weeks before I had the girls. They were born at 29 weeks, and the oldest one was Emily Grace. She's the one that's with me today. She weighed 2 pounds, 11 ounces. And then there was Alyssa Jean. She weighed 2 pounds, 8 ounces. And then Lauren Olivia weighed 1 pound, 1 ounce. So God truly blessed us. Emily just had to have a little oxygen in a tent. Alyssa had to go on the ventilator for about 24 hours to put some medicine down in her lungs to help them mature. And then Lauren, the little firecracker, she didn't have to have anything. So we're very thankful and blessed. But they did have to stay in the hospital. Emily came home at 6 weeks old, Alyssa at 7 weeks, and Lauren at eight weeks. And Alyssa and Lauren are, today's their first basketball game. So they would be here with us if it wasn't today. So, but Emily's here with me, and she's going to come up after a while and sing with me. But God has truly blessed us. They are completely healthy. You know, and I will tell you that the tornado was terrible. But when I found out there were three, that was three terrible more tornadoes. Not that they were terrible, but just the thoughts of every night laying in the bed thinking, how am I going to do this? how am I going to do this? And I would give it to God, or I would think I gave it to God, but I kept picking it back up, thinking I had to help him. And I'd say, you know, what about this, God, what about this? And finally, you know, I just about drove myself and Randy crazy, but I knew that God had not failed us, and I knew that we could trust him. And then they were healthy, and they were happy, and they are most of the time now. But God's truly blessed us. They love to sing. They play basketball, volleyball, softball. They all take piano. They're all active in church. And so I'm thankful. I'm truly thankful that God's blessed me with them. They're all Christians. They all give their heart to Jesus. And so God has made my trial a blessing. And that's what I'm going to sing next.